what to do. You got to preach. Amen. Amen. I thank God for my grandbaby. Amen. Our Father and our God, we come to you now. Bow heads and our hearts. We come, O God, with a heart full of thanksgiving. Thank you for just being God all by yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to send your darling Son Jesus to be born in a manger. But you didn't stay there. That you got up and made the supreme sacrifice for our salvation. And it is for those reasons and many more, God, that we stop this morning to honor your birth. Lord, we honor you because of what you have done for us. We honor you because you're God and you're God all by yourself. We honor you for your power and your might. Lord, so we ask for your strength and your wisdom as we go forward in the precious and mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Give all glory and honor to God. Associate members, saints, and sinners, all of God's children. We want to recognize the presence of our daughters in the ministry. Courtney Jenkins. Amen. Amen. And even now, preparing to bring us a selection. Amen. Amen. We thank God. Used to be right now. Amen. Come on, baby. I'm not going to be long. Just come on. Our scripture reading, I read our scripture while she gets ready to come. Our scripture we're going to read is out of the Christmas narrative, as recorded by St. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that the decree went out to Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone from the city. Joseph also went from Galilee out to the city of Nazareth and to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his spouse's wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the end. Now there were the same shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And you will, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward all men. God's holy word as it is written. Amen. Come on, baby.
Good morning, good afternoon, blessings, greetings, and all that good stuff to all of you here at Eastside. Always giving glory and honor to God and honor to Pastor Banks and to Mr. West, all of you lovely people. I'm at home. I always feel at home. It'll never change. And I just want to, I know I'm not the only one who stands here today in this Christmas season, and it really doesn't feel like Christmas. Am I the only one?
Amen.
Amen. For those of you who don't know, I moved away to California to take care of my mom's husband, who is battling cancer, and then to come back to all of the family that have adopted me here. Not every single one of them is the same as how I left them. And so it's a tough Christmas season for me. But God is God no matter what is going on. So I just want to encourage someone as I am encouraging myself that God is in control every day that we have, every breath that we take is in His hands. And no matter how tough it is, no matter how sad it is, no matter the struggle that we are having to celebrate and honor this Christmas season, it doesn't take away from Jesus being Jesus. It doesn't take away from us being saved. It doesn't take away from our relationship. It just makes us be real and human and have to depend on Him even the more. So be encouraged to all of you who are having a similar struggle like me. God is always God, and Jesus is still the risen Savior, and we are still celebrating His birthday, and we have to know that no matter what, it is well. When peace lies a river, a tenderness my way. When sorrows like sea
small because the right thing to do. More importantly, it is time for us to give praise and honor to God. Amen. At least five people. Amen. Some of y'all have gotten comfortable. Amen. So I'm asking you to stand. Just stand just for a minute. That's going to make the cushion shift. You stand. So by the time you get it back to where you're comfortable, ready to go to sleep, we're going to be through. Amen. Guarantee you may be seated. We are glad to glorify God. We hear this often, and particularly in this time of the year, when we should hear it all year round, that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen? Now, if Jesus is the reason for the season, then we must also understand that we are to behave ourselves, particularly as Christians, because Jesus is the reason for the season. But I think one of the issues that we have is that we have not taken Christ out of the cradle. Amen. We can deal with him as a baby born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. But he was born as our Savior, and we accept that, but he's also born as our Lord. Amen. And our Lord meaning that he has rule and authority in our life. Amen. But I want to just talk about this baby for a moment. Babies have an innocent look. Amen. Who got a baby? Babies have an innocent look about them. And as the person grows up, they lose that innocent look. But all babies have an innocent look when they are first born. And as they start to grow, because of their innocence, they will say anything. That's why many are real aware of what we say at home. Because a baby will say the same thing they heard at home, out somewhere else. There was a story told of a woman that was driving her old beat-up car on the highway. Her 7-year-old son, Johnny, was in the front seat. She tried to keep up with the traffic, but they were driving around her like she was hardly moving. She got up, she got caught up in a large group of cars flying down the road, and she looked at a speedometer and saw that she was going 15 miles over the speed limit. About that time, she looked in her rearview mirror. Amen. You can imagine what she saw, flashing lights. Amen. And the police pulled over behind her. She sat in the car and waited for the officer to come to the car. And as he walked up to the car, he said, "Ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over?" Just like a child would do. But before she could answer, her son said, "I do." And he said, "Well, why?" He said, "Because you couldn't catch the other car." Amen. And so the little boy demanded and decided that because they were in a beat-up car, that's why the police pulled them over in the car, because they couldn't catch the rest of the car. You can see the innocence of a child by the things that they say and by the expression on their face. Amen. If you look at children, most of them, you can tell what they're thinking. Babies have an innocent look, but babies also have a mysterious look. That is when you and I look at a little child in the arms of that mother, we don't know what that child may become. That child might grow up to become President of the United States. That child might grow up to become a talented athlete. That child may grow up to be a preacher that will preach to millions. But he also, in looking in his eyes, that child might become an individual that grow up and become a serial killer. We never know what a child may be. For example, some children have been raised in godly homes and by godly parents, but later in life broke the hearts of those godly parents. As we look into the eyes of the babe, we never know what the child will become. Some are privileged to look into the eyes of baby Jesus. The Bible tells us exactly what he would become. Scripture tells us about his unique birth, but everybody looked at the baby Jesus. They were looking at a baby, but they had the most unique birth of any baby that was ever born. It wasn't unique that he was born in a stable. It wasn't unique that he was born without a doctor being present, as far as we know. It was not unique that he was born while his family was traveling. All these things happen time and time again, but the one thing that made his birth unique was the fact that he was born of a virgin. It has been said you could place the mother of Jesus in a contest with other mothers, and you would have given, who have given unique birth, and that all the stories they could tell are believed in the most unique birth, because they gave birth to a child in the backseat of a taxi, because they gave birth to a child in an elevator, because they gave birth to a child in an airplane. But all these dwindle when it comes to the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, as was prophesied many years earlier. All births are miraculous, but his birth is like no other birth ever occurred before or since. Matthew 1:18-21, we read, "Now the birth of Jesus was this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, thy wife, for that which was conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Oh, this whole thing about Jesus' birth is a miracle. Because I know some brothers sitting here, and I know some brothers standing here. If their fiance came up and told them that she was pregnant of the Holy Ghost, we'd be looking for the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. And not for the reason that we think. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And let's be honest with you now. Let me just pick on one or two people. Brother Reed came here and said, "I'm pregnant," and said, "I'm of the Holy Ghost." What are you going to say?
Well,
when? Amen. Let me see something. Let me pick on somebody else over there. Brother David, you're newlywed, right? Amen. How you feel about the Holy Ghost, Sister David, being pregnant by the Holy Ghost? Yeah, but I started to say, if I know Brother David, any way I can get it, I'll take it. Amen.
Those who had the privilege to look at baby Jesus as a child that was born to this life, that no other child was ever born before. Before his birth, Joseph and Mary never had an intimate relationship. It was while they were engaged to be married that the Bible tells that the Holy Ghost moved on Mary and she in turn had a child. They saw a unique birth. Also, the scripture says that they saw God in the flesh. The cult of the Jehovah's Witness does not celebrate Christmas. It's easy to see why they do not celebrate Christmas, because they do not believe that Almighty God came in the flesh and dwelt among us. They do not mind concealing saying that God, that He's a mighty God, but they will not concede that He is Almighty God. Yeah, that is, Jesus is not the Jehovah of David. Jesus is not the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Well, in fact, those who had the privilege of looking at the baby Jesus were looking at Almighty God in the flesh. That is why the book of Matthew tells us, look, in Matthew 1:23, Christ is referred to as Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This is what Paul tells us in Colossians 2:9. We read, for in Him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead. Amen. Not some, but all the fullness, all of the Godhead was wrapped up in Jesus. But what does that mean? It simply means that you and I look at the physical body of Christ, and all God dwells in that body. Notice the Bible says that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Whenever we say we believe in the deity of Christ, we are saying that all God dwells in all that God physically is. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Christ in the New Testament. Look at the Old Testament Bible, Psalm 92, that said, Jehovah is in me, in my everlasting portion. Notice the Old Testament Jehovah, the evangelist, in witnessing that He's an everlasting God. Both in the New Testament, Christ is saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and is which to come, the Almighty. Those of us who are privileged to see in the eyes of Jesus, they look at the most unique birth that was ever taken place. They looked at God in the flesh dwelling among us. But they saw even more than that. Scripture tells us that they saw their Creator. They looked at the baby Jesus, and they looked at a child in the helpless face of an infant. But as they looked at Him, they were looking at God, the Creator. He humbly laid aside His attributes of God to become a man that we must die for our sake. In looking at the book of Philippians, we have a beautiful account of Jesus leaving His life in heaven to be made a man. For Philippians 2:7-8 read, but He made Himself of no reputation. And He took upon Himself the form of a servant. And He was made in the likeness. And being found in the fashion of man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even unto death on the cross. Not because of what He'd done, but He emptied Himself. He poured out Himself. He gave up all of His riches and His power to come down and die for us, to die for you. He died so that you may have a right to the tree of life. He created everything. But Colossians 1:16-19, we read, for by Him were all things created in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominion, principalities or power, all things were created by Him and for Him. And if before all things by Him things consist, and He is ahead of the body. And see, this clarifies some stuff. He is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. And in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that him he should dwell in all of his fullness. Those who are privileged to see the Lord saw one thing in. They saw their Savior. They saw a baby that was born that he might die. When he came with a death wish. He came looking forward to that day that he would die to save you from your sin and rescue you. In the midst, one of the favorite courses that we as Christians enjoy singing is, oh, how he loves me and you. Oh, how he loves me and you. What more could he give? How he loves me and you. He loves me and you. He loves you and me. Years ago, a man was telling about how he felt when he, and you gotta listen closely because I want you to get it. A man was telling how he felt when he and his wife visited the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. He said that he was looking at the space shuttle that was on display. A very strange feeling came over him. He said that he looked at the space shuttle and he could not help but think how high that object had gone into space. And now that same object was before his very eyes. He said that he pondered on that and that he couldn't help but realize that he was seeing something that his forefathers had already seen. His forefathers had seen an object that had gone far into the heavens, but it came back to earth to die for our sins. He came back to earth that we might have a right to the tree of life. He came back to let us know that he was born in a manger. It didn't matter where he was born. And that tells us and give us a story. It don't matter where you came from. It don't matter what your life was. It doesn't matter how bad you think where you came from was bad and where you've been. But Jesus came to let you know that you can't go any lower than a man. You can't go any lower than a stable. But he also came to let us know that because he was born in a stable, one day he was born down, but one day he was lifted up. And he said, when I'll be lifted up, he came, Jesus came to die for us. He didn't come for a Christmas tree. He didn't come for light. He didn't come for a party. He didn't come for us to exchange gifts. He had already exchanged the best gift he had. That was his life. For our salvation. Nobody else could do it. So Jesus did. And he did it all in the fullness. He didn't do it by accident. He knew when he was born in Bethlehem that his destiny was Calvary. But he knew that Calvary was the end of his journey. He knew that they were going to bury him in a borrowed tomb. He knew that on the third day, he would get up with all power. Why? Because banks needed salvation. He came because you needed salvation. He came because you were in the pits of of death. You were in sin and in ungodliness. But he came. Said, if I can come out of a stable, you can come out of drugs. If I can come out of a stable, you can come out of unrighteousness. If I can come out of a stable, you can come out of drugs and alcohol. If you... God is saying, I have a gift for you. Amen. You don't have to go to Bethlehem to receive it. And I have a gift for you right here. Right now. And you know, oftentimes we get gifts, we want to exchange them. We play with, how many of you had the experience of having a child and you bring them
a gift, and the gift may cost a little money, and you give it to them, and they spend more time with the wrapping paper than the gift. So you might say, well, I just should have wrapped up a box and gave it to them, they'd be happy as heck. But that's one thing I can guarantee. That thing I got is a few people that can guarantee that since I received the gift of salvation, I'm not going to trade it in. I didn't get fixed. Amen? Jesus has let us know he went to Bethlehem because it fit. And he's telling you right now, it fits. Receive me. Come unto me, all ye that are buried and heavenly. I'll give you rest. I am the reason for the season. If you don't give one gift under the tree, know that I have already gave you. I have already gave you the best gift you could ever receive. Receive my gift. And you know what I found out when I received Jesus? I look at other gifts differently. Amen. Jesus is saying, I'm in a manger. I was born in a manger. You celebrate me in a manger. But had the manger only led me to the cross. If I had not gotten in the manger, I never would have knew what the cross was like. But now that I know what the cross is like, and a tomb, a borrowed tomb, even though I just used it for a couple of days, and I rose again, I want to let you know that there's something beyond the grave. There's something beyond this life. There's something beyond Christmas. It's the Christ in Christmas. Several years ago, they started using the X for Christmas. Then someone did some research and found out that X in years past stood for Christ. So you can't Xmas, you still Christ. Amen? What I'm saying, let us receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you never see another Christmas, if you don't get a present, know that it's not your birthday anyway. We celebrate his birthday. We ought to be giving. Amen? We ought to be giving out instead of with our hands out. Now, how many of you expect something for Christmas? How many of you made a list and checked it twice to see if you were naughty or nice? Let's see. I know you. I know y'all speak one at a time. Hopefully I can't see. Yeah, most of us expect something for Christmas. He's already gave. But have you received? God has already gave you, but have you received? And that's what I want to challenge you this morning, to receive the true gift of Christmas. Thank you. Somebody said a gift that keeps on giving. Some gifts break down, you have to repair them. But Jesus just keeps on giving. Keeps on waking you up. Keeps on providing for you. Giving you health and strength. Will you give your life back to him? Amen. Come now and give your life to him. Let us stand. Will you come? Don't go another day, another Sunday, without surrendering who you are to a Savior that already knows. Will you come this morning? God is able. He said, if you take one step, I'll take two. And I will walk with you all the way, even until the end of the age. You worried about who's going to be with you? Point of your departure, your loved ones may not be there, but know that Jesus will be there with you if you surrender your life. Will you surrender your life this morning? Will you come?
step.